This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour of Brock and Salk is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. It's great. Danny O'Neill had his dog Peach in hanging out a little bit, a little Sharpei.
So cute.
Big fan of the Peach.
So cute.
The noises that dog makes, amazing. It's even louder than Wendell. It's crazy. All right, here's what we've been doing every Friday. We've been opening up the phone lines, 206-421-3776. And your assignment is fairly simple. Anything you want to say. Anything that's been on your mind. So this could be related to last night. We had a lot of people wanted to call in on the way the ninth inning was handled, on Kyle Seager, on Scott Service's decision-making, Felix Hernandez's fair game. Anything you'd like to say about the past, present, or future of Felix Hernandez?
Really good, man.
Really, really good. You got the Mariners in general and where they're at and how you feel. You've got the Seahawks coming off a minicamp and Russell Wilson talking to us and a new offense and a new defensive coordinator and where Pete Carroll's at and where Russell is in his career. There's a million things to talk about right now. All you got to do is pick one. 206-421-3776. Phone lines will be open for a while here. We'll let you guys make the call. And by the way, if you want to go outside Seattle and bring in a bigger picture subject, something that's been on your mind, you can do that as well. So one more time, 206-421-3776. If you don't get through, keep on trying. We'll grab you. Curtis is in Bellevue. Good morning, Curtis. Get us going.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great.
All right, so I want to talk about a factor of the Seahawks who I think has the most, pressure on him. And I actually called him the other week, Brock, man, my man. You had Jody, Mr. Unlimited, go in front of me. You even said I was up next. I was like an hour and 20 minutes waiting, brother.
Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, that was my bad. My bad, Curtis. I'm sorry. Okay, bring it.
I respect you guys a lot, Ashley, first-time caller. So this is what I'm looking at. For me, really, it's the LOB, and not the one we're all thinking of. This is the leadership of body. So what she was talking about, Jody, I believe, was on Russell. I don't think it is. Russell did nothing. It was the management that put Russell in that position. Russell's been proven to run around like a crazy man with no real help. We know he can do that. Bobby's always had a really good, Pro Bowler's always surrounding him.
Yep.
He's always had real good help. This is the first year I think he's going to have all the eyes on him, most pressure on him,
Wow. Where
he has to really dig deep and not only stay healthy, but he has to be a leader. The leadership of Bobby, LOB, ultimately is going to come back to the LOB, the legend of Bobby, after this year and the next few years.
Wow.
I think that's a very big key factor.
Yeah, he's a strong call. Why are you coming after Jody so hard? Because Jody's number four on the rankings?
Yeah, I think that's exactly why.
Is that what you're trying to do here?
You got
to...
Here's what you got to understand, Curtis, and I know why Brock didn't take your call. It's the Bellevue thing. I mean, now that, and Brock's got the Puyallup roots, but now that he's sort of upper crust on the east side, he tries to distance himself from some of the other east side neighbors so he doesn't look like he's become kind of this ritzy type of, like, he tries to retain some of his
slappy.
Roots. What are you talking about?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, is it?
I just spent 4 days with the upper crust Bellevue Clyde Hill crowd in Alaska.
That's
okay,
true.
I sure did.
I saw Damon again yesterday.
Yeah.
He's getting blonder and blonder by the day.
Yeah, he's letting it go.
It is blonde.
Is it blonde or orange?
No, it was blonde.
It was blonde yesterday? All right. He's letting it go. He's going to take it down.
I'll be honest.
Go great.
And I'm not joking. I didn't recognize him when I saw him from outside. I was like, who is that? With a bunch of Oh, it's Damon.
Right.
Hey. Damon was here.
Yes.
He had one question though about your trip up to Alaska. He's just wondering why Luke wasn't there.
Yeah,
what's the deal with that?
Will you stop? Will you go back to being the slumbering? This doesn't feel like a Friday show, and just take these calls. Go.
Oh man! All right, Sheldon.
Legion of Bobby.
206-421-3776. I don't even know where Sheldon is. Could be anywhere. What's up, Sheldon?
I'm in feedback. Hey,
hey, man.
Why the term is games over 500 when you get towards the end of the season, you got like maybe 10 games left, and how can you be 20 games over 500 when you only have 10 left? Why don't they use a term like wins over 500?
Right.
Sheldon, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I want to try to ask this really, really nicely.
But he's,
what is it about this particular thing? Why does this make you, what warrants a phone call about this?
It's just something I've always wondered about.
Yeah.
All
right.
That's fair.
Sheldon's a are you a numbers guy, Sheldon?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Are you a mathematician?
Not exactly.
Are you on the genius scale?
No, I'm not on the genius.
I got to be honest. I hear people complain about this. I received an email from somebody recently that was like 10 pages long on this. Yeah. And I just don't understand why anybody cares. I mean,
hey, you opened up these phone lines.
I know.
Bro. You asked for anything they want.
I think it's I'm glad we're having the conversation.
Right.
I don't understand why there is this big movement out there on this.
Well, I think Bob Gries and Tom spent a half hour on this, from what I understand earlier in the week.
It was like a bad half hour.
Talking about, is it really 20 games over 500 or is it 10?
As long as we all agree what the term means, what's the difference?
Right.
It's how many losses it would take to get back to 500. Okay.
Potato, potato. Tomato, tomato.
206-421-3776.
Root or route. Bag or bag.
206-421-3776. Let's grab Isaiah, who's in Yakima. Is he still in the top five or he fall out?
He's not. This is his fourth straight day.
Brock didn't like one of my comments because Danny was on there. So
no,
okay.
You gave two. You were what? You were in between. Don't.
I know. I agree with you, Brock.
You.
I agree.
So you're building it back
up. My question is, first, the Mariners are going to take the next three games, so we're okay there.
Okay.
We'll be fine. But, no, my question for you guys is, what would you be more disappointed with at the end of the 2018 season for the Seahawks?
Okay.
That the running game doesn't change and stays the same as it was the last 2 years, or they finish 8-8?
Well, what is their record without a good running game? Like, if they
record without a good running game, 9-7 at best.
So they go 9-7, but they pass so well and they can't run, or they do run the ball well, but they only go 8-8?
No, I'm saying, because I think I'm on the mindset that if they run the ball just somewhat, like 10% better than what they did last year. Like if a running back could actually go for 500 yards and maybe score two touchdowns,
yeah,
that's going to be at least an extra win.
Right.
So that's 10, 10-6. I feel Seattle is going to go at best 11-5 and win the division.
Wow. Hey, Isaiah, did you like Russell yesterday? Did you get a chance to catch Russell with us?
Unfortunately, I was on the line, but I had to go and be supervising of some kids, so I actually missed it.
Well, you got to go back and listen to that on the old podcast, because I think you'll like what he had to say. There's no question that running the football is an enormous priority for the quarterback. Right? He knows, and Isaiah, he said yesterday, and I loved it. He said, you know what? I've had the best of both worlds. I lived in the West Coast system playing for NC State, and then I lived in the Wisconsin system, right, running the power. In fact, here was Russell with us yesterday speaking to that run game, Isaiah.
I think we're going to be a very explosive offense. Like, we've always been explosive. But I think that we're going to have a wide range of explosiveness. I mean, from all the runs, you know, we're not just wide zone anymore. We're going to have a lot of different schemes and up front. And in terms of the passing game, I think that our protection will be better. I think our calls will be better. I think we'll be a lot sharper, and there's a lot more there to do.
If they can't fix the run game, we've got real problems, Houston. Like, they've done everything. You got a quarterback that is built. Yes, and I'll say this. It sounds goofy, but you got a quarterback that is built for a run-first team. Because all he can do with his play action, all he does and he commands for a defense to respect.
Yeah.
You drafted a running back in the first round. You fired your coordinator and O-line coach and brought the – if they cannot run the ball next year, we've got significant issues.
I would agree with that. But, you know, until you actually see it, right? I mean, I think there's still a question mark there. Can they run the ball? They've spent time on it. They've changed out their coordinator. They've changed out their offensive line coach. They brought in a guy like DJ Fluker, but they didn't make that many changes to the actual offensive line. And they bring back a couple of running backs. I mean, obviously, Chris Carson.
Two new tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, so they've done some things, but is it enough? And will they remain committed to it? I think if they do, they'll be a better football team. 206-421-3776. Any argument you've been trying to make, the phone line's 100% open. Would like to see a few more calls. I mean, we've got a couple lines open. Come on, guys. We've been good at this the last
few
weeks.
Like the Mariners lost, all right? They're 20.
So everybody checks out?
Yeah.
If that's the way we're going to pay attention to baseball, we got issues, man.
Yeah,
if we're only calling and coming in after the Mariners win, but after each loss we turn away,
sure.
That's a hard way to... Hard way to watch baseball. 206-421-3776. I'll keep saying, Brock, and I'll grab some of these calls in a sec. I am in no way turned off by last night. Anybody who has their spirits dampened by one loss to the Red Sox, a 2-1 game that you have a chance to win in the ninth, then I don't think you're watching baseball the right way. I mean, like that's a bummer loss. I'm mad at them last night. I think that's a winnable game that unfortunately they didn't find a way to win. I thought Kyle Seager's at bat in the ninth was really poor. I wasn't real wild about some of the way they approached the pitching in that game, but But at the end of the day, all right, fine. You lose a baseball game now and again to a really good team. Fine. Go back and get him the next night with James Paxton on the hill. Yeah. Let's go.
And Felix was the best he's been this year.
And there's a lot to take.
You wondered if Felix could still do forward. That. Can Felix still do that? Can Felix still spend seven innings in a quality start against the best team
you
in
saw
baseball?
He was capable of
can
it
he
last
still
night?
Throw 90, 91? Can the ball still be alive and magical? Mm. We know he can spin it. But can he do everything else you need to do to really get after, what, 8 strikeouts, a season high last night? He still has that in his holster. That has
to be the way that Felix commanded his pitches last night was, who in the heck is that guy on the mound? I couldn't figure it out.
206-421-3776. Colleen is in Kennewick. Good morning, Colleen.
Well, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I have been listening to the radio all week on these Mariners and these people calling in.
Yep.
Saying, oh, yeah, we're for the Mariners now. Let's go. Yeah, I'm going to jump on that wagon. But where were you at when they weren't doing so good? It really just disgusts me to hear these people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get on there now. I'm going to jump on, and I'm going to go support them. But what about the last few years? You know, they support when they're doing good, and they don't. They walk away and say, they're not going to do anything.
Right.
Cano, he made a mistake. He's paying for it. But he's like, wow.
But Colleen, don't we want to welcome them all? Like, even if they're not diehards, wouldn't you rather have, instead of a stadium come Saturday, Sunday, full of 20,000 Red Sox fans, even if they are kind of bandwagon late to the party, don't you still want them to party with you?
You support them no matter what. It's like a marriage. You don't give up on it. You'd work it through.
Mm-hmm.
All of us hardcore Mariners fans pay the money to go watch them. They watch them on TV, listen to them on the radio. So we're supporting them.
Yep.
Those ones that are jumping on now, they haven't contributed to that Mariner team.
No, I would agree with that. I think it's really the fans that have been there that have contributed, and the newer fans maybe haven't contributed as much. On the other hand, I think a year ago, at 69 games through the season, they were 33-36.
Yeah.
I mean, they went on a little run actually right afterwards, won 6 in a row, but they were at 33-36, not giving people the same level of confidence.
Colleen, just try to be inclusive, okay? Try to be warm and welcoming, and it's hard, and you don't have to love them right away.
It's not easy.
All right, we can all be unified. I would hope we can be unified on the Mariners ship. That is their 19 games over 500. Yes, there will be some stragglers that you don't always appreciate,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really get along with. But if they want to come aboard and fill up that stadium and get after the Red Sox and anybody else that comes in and make it difficult to play, I'm all for it.
Let's grab Jeff, who's in Puyallup. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk about the double standard between management and players when it comes to PEDs.
Okay.
You know, with the stuff that happened to Cano, you know, it's so disappointing, but, you know, a lot of people look at it as, you know, he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame, his career's tarnished. But you look at guys like Tony La Russa and Joe Torre, who really have a lot of wins and championships on the back of people that, you know, have been suspended for PEDs, and that never gets taken into perspective. And I think if it was college athletics, you'd be talking about leadership, you know, losing control of their program. But now you have Joe Torre, who's the chief baseball officer of baseball, and, you know, look at how many wins he got off these players.
I've never heard anybody say that before, Jeff.
He's from Puyallup.
You know, I think it's something that we just forget about, you know, and it's a really interesting paradigm, I think.
Jeff,
so
what would you do about it? Jeff, you know what you just did? You just blew Salk's mind.
Yeah, I've never thought about that, and I've never heard anybody say that. I think it's a really interesting point. What would you do about it?
Well, you know, in college athletics, they strip titles, you know, when people are found to be doing things they're not supposed to, and it's at least taken into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, when we're so quick to, you know, throw a player under the bus for PEDs, you know, sometimes you have to look at the leadership. Was the leadership strong? Did they have control of the program?
Yeah, the only thing I would say, Jeff, the challenge there is this was league-wide, man. If you're going to do that for the coaches,
as opposed to in college football where it's
GMs.
Only a couple of coaches
that
are cheating.
College football doesn't have a czar. College football
does not
have a commissioner.
But that's a league-wide problem also.
The commissioner of baseball looked the other way.
Here's what I like about this, and Lydia, close your ears for a minute.
Uh-oh.
The fact that you're going after Joe Torre and Tony La Russa, I got your back. Like, let's go get those guys. If you want to start a pitchfork campaign to go after Tony La Russa and Joe Torre, I am your man, Jeff. Let's go get them. Form a posse. Let's go. Those are like two of my least favorite people. I am all over it. Okay. Let's get after Tony La Russa. Let's get after Joe Torre. Let's blame them for the entire steroid era. Count me in.
All right, earmuffs off, Lydia. Right. You're good now.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Nice to have you aboard.
Phonies. 206-421-3776. Grab Chris, who's in, where's Chris? Woodinville. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, guys. Salk, I know you've been beating the drum to extend Jerry and Scott, and I agree with you. And just kind of comment, just thinking about, you know, organizational depth and minor league depth. You know, obviously the Mariners, to a certain degree, rightfully so, have been kind of killed for their minor league system for lack of blue chip, can't miss prospects that the national media salivates over. But mm-hmm. I think what they've gone through this year, you know, when you can have a 40-man roster that you, you know, almost, you know, use all those bullets in the gun and have guys in your system, not that they were world beaters, but like a Gordon Beckham who can step in and give you meaningful innings and different bullpen arms you can get up here who can contribute. You know, there's a story of organizational depth here that goes beyond just the headlines of, you know, top five, you know, prospects and those kind of things. So, I think from that standpoint, it's been a masterful job. And Jerry's talked about using a whole 40-man roster in a season.
And they do, man.
And it's to his credit.
Yeah, Chris, they certainly do.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's really fluid. So, is that going to get done? Are we going to see a deal in the next 4, 6, 8? We think we'd see a deal in season get done
yes.
for Jerry and ultimately Scott.
Yes, I do. I still think that, I mean, what are we, June 15th? When's the All-Star game? July 6th or something like that? I'll say by the All-Star break.
Wow.
That'd be my guess. Now, I don't know anything. I'm going to guess that by the All-Star break, they'll get a deal done for Jerry, and then it won't take more than a couple days after that for something to get done for Scott Service, as it should. So, yeah, I think that'll get done. And I also think Jerry is going to make another move here before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I still think there's more pitching coming. I mean, I really, you know, I I still think there's going to be another starter added to this team at some point. And at some point, you can see some injuries in the starting rotation. I mean, they've been very, very fortunate so far that other than Erasmo, all of their starters have made every turn in the rotation.
So I'm a little bit myopic here. I'll be honest with you, Chris. I have a tunnel vision focus with the Mariners. And I'll watch some other baseball and certainly look in the standings and follow Houston and the other teams that you're competing with. But do we see it as much in baseball with other teams? Are they as fluid with their 40-man? Or do they have as much movement transactionally in their bullpen and guys that do seemingly come in and like rumble last night?
I don't follow every team either, but that's been my experience in the past. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of movement. I think Jerry's done a good job of having a bunch of 4A guys around,
yeah.
which you've got to have.
Yeah.
Rumble is not bad, by the way. I mean, it was fun to watch that kid last night. If you guys were still sticking around watching in the eighth inning, had a chance to see Nick Rumble throw for the Mariners. He's somebody they thought was going to be on the team to start the year. This is not one of the randoms who comes up mid-year like, oh, we need some help throwing some other guy.
Like that poor guy that tore his hamstring off his bone last year.
What that was that guy's name? Evan something?
Marshall.
Evan Marshall.
There you go.
Yeah. No, this is not that. He's not some 40-year-old who's been running around on the scrap heap. This is a guy they traded for that they thought was going to be in their bullpen to start the year this year, and he got hurt in spring training. They've been waiting for him to come back. So
Evan Marshall's a nice guy.
I'm sure he was.
He's a really nice guy.
He's a very nice guy.
He's very mean.
I'll never forget the yell, though.
That was
my hamstring. He basically needed life block.
Like, I had that.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
On a plane last 2 weeks, whenever we were flying, and the passenger banged their knee
on the
chair, and it was as if the leg blew off.
Well, that's sad.
No, they banged the knee on the chair, and
maybe
the
she
whole
banged it really hard.
How you know it was a he?
Well, you've already told me the story.
Okay.
It's because you've told me the story at least 3 times.
Next,
Brock.
Next.
Let's grab David, who's in Lacey. Good morning, David. What's going on?
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Hey, man.
You guys got to talk me off the ledge with Seager because
I think you might be calling the wrong show.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Call in the afternoon to talk to Dave and Jess. And
they'll talk you off the ledge. We're gonna we're gonna be like Mel Gibson at the beginning of the first Lethal Weapon, where he jumps with that guy. Like I don't know whether the right duo to talk you off this ledge.
Talk to me, David. Talk to me, baby. What you got?
He was diving out of those, pulling his hips like it was an inside pitch. That ball caught more of the middle of the plate than it did the inside part of it.
There is a competitor that Seager goes up against, and I wish I wouldn't have heard this. And his words to me were, he's a guesser. The guy just guesses. And now when I watch the at-bats, I can't get that word and that thought out of my mind. And when he guesses right, he hits a three-run bomb.
You mean you heard this from a pitcher?
Yes, from a pitcher that has gone up against him in the past. And you know what? When he guesses right, David, he hits a three-run or two-run bomb in Tampa and helps you win a game. And he's had a bunch of these this year, right, where he guesses right. But in those moments, in those last two at-bats, he saw six pitches. He saw six strikes, and he whiffed on all of them. And it just wasn't – and he looked at strike three last night. And that's just – yeah, there's just got to be more for your number five hitter in that moment on this stage over the course of the season.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, I'll throw out a trade. Manny Machado's not going to re-sign with the Orioles.
Right.
How about we dump Seager to the Orioles, let him have him. We'll take Machado.
I think you're probably right. I think when the Orioles trade the most, the best commodity that's going to be on the trade market this year, they're going to want somebody that you are quote-unquote dumping. I'm pretty sure that's how the world works, David. Maybe in Lacey it works that way, but in the rest of the real world, I don't think so, pal. Good luck with that one.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for the phone call.
Glad you could chuckle.
Hey, you know what? The best player in baseball is available, one of them anyway, in Manny Machado. Maybe they'll take our rotten trash for him.
You don't like my 83 Pinto? You don't think it's worth $40,000 to trade in direct for that new ride?
What are you talking about? I love it. I love those calls. And by the way, everybody...
And he's chuckling.
Of course. He knows. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not looking to make a deal, and I still think they will be. I don't think it's going to be a Manny Machado kind of a deal. I don't think they have the horses
to get that
done.
By the way, Kyle, if you want to walk you off the ledge, it doesn't affect his defense.
No?
He's had the best defense, and he saves runs, and he made an unbelievable play in the eighth inning over his shoulder as well.
Brock, at this point, it's not even just a month or a couple weeks or even this year. It's been a couple of years now while Kyle Seager has deteriorated offensively, and... I'm worried. I'll admit, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about where his career goes. That's not to say he's not going to have a few big moments. He has already this year.
Yep.
He's not a bad player.
Gosh, and David, I hope he shuts you and me and Salk up.
That'd be great.
The next 3 weeks, David, because you know it, especially in June and July, that bat will get hot. That ball will get much bigger to him. He'll stop guessing, and he'll have a two-week stretch. He didn't have it last year. It's the first year in his six-plus years he hasn't. But, David, I sure hope. Will you call back Monday and be like, yeah, that Seager stuff I said, is he has a couple game-winning hits over the next couple days? Yeah, scratch that, because he has the capability of getting it done.
We've got a call about an atmosphere and a call about energy. We'll do both next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, Brock and Salk in this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
Got some friends here today.
Yeah, I know. You having fun back there?
I am. Good. I am. They're like, you guys actually sound like you're having fun.
No.
Yeah.
It's Friday. Everybody's having fun.
Yeah, we're brilliant actors.
And Peter and David, you guys really enjoy working together, huh? You guys really enjoy this thing. And nice Howdy and Lydia are super involved in this. Oh, yeah. They run the show.
We do have some phone lines here, 206-421-3776. We'll keep grabbing your calls. It was interesting, the whole Friday thing. Do you notice driving into work, because we come into work early, before 6 o'clock, when you're driving in on Friday... Do you find that it's generally the most crowded the roads are is early Friday morning than any other day of the week?
No.
I do.
And now that school's out, as people head out for three-day weekends?
What I assume is that everybody comes into work super early on Friday so they can cut out by noon and go wherever they're going to go.
Possibly.
Because Friday afternoon, there's no one out there.
No.
Used to be the worst traffic day of the week was Friday afternoon. Now it's empty.
I don't know what to tell you, boss.
Nobody works anymore.
Never changes for us.
Nobody works
anymore. 5 a.m., let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. Steve's been hanging on in Tacoma. Steve, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning. I'm ecstatic about the Mariners, but this morning I want to talk about Seahawks Pete.
Cool.
For months I've been listening to this raging tsunami of negativity. Oh, Pete's done. The Seahawks are doomed. Pete's lost his mojo. I think there's at least an argument to be made for the idea that Pete's getting his mojo back. Every year in college, Pete had about as many starters and about as many great players and young players to plug in as he has this season with the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And he won 7 straight Pac-10 titles and 2 national titles.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you could get Pete in a candid moment, I think he's loving this. I think he likes having the challenge of having to rebuild a team. I think if you could get him to admit it, he's happy as a redneck with a popsicle right now.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
And that staleness that we saw creeping into this team for the last couple of seasons.
All right.
Yes.
I think some of it was coming from him. I don't think he was fully engaged.
Right. No, Steve, he couldn't be. There's no competition, bro. There was none of it. You know, you have guys that are all locked in, their contracts, their roles, everything else. There was no competition.
Is he allowed to say that?
What?
I don't know. Whatever it was he said, it doesn't seem like something we should be saying.
I don't know.
Steve, don't say that anymore. What's the matter with you? I agree with everything else he said, though.
Yeah.
I think you're the one who keeps putting,
yes.
Yeah, you're the one who keeps putting pressure on Pete.
There is pressure
no,
on Pete.
No, there isn't.
Oh, yes, there is.
No, there is
absolutely
not.
Is
not more than
on
any
Pete.
Other year. This is a normal amount of pressure on Pete
Mike
Carroll.
Is right. There's no pressure on Pete.
There is pressure on I don't, Pete.
When you say that, you make it sound like his job's at stake.
No, I am saying when
Mark,
you
that's
hit-
what pressure means when you talk about a head coach. What you're saying is that Pete's job is in jeopardy when you say that.
If they go 7-9 next year, Pete will not be fired. He will not be fired.
Then stop saying he's under pressure.
But the seat will get warm and it will get hot.
Maybe then we'll yes. have a conversation yes. about whether he's
so
under
therefore,
pressure.
So therefore, there is
well,
pressure.
Then everybody's under pressure if that's the case. Come on, man.
No, when you talk that way, you make it sound like
Pete's job is on the line.
Everyone's not under pressure. Don't yell at me. Everyone's not under pressure. His first year wasn't under pressure.
I thought you said we were enjoying this together.
We were. Until you had to get all red and get mad and
well,
lose
because,
your mind.
Because you're saying something that I don't think you truly mean.
I do truly mean it.
You don't think that Pete's job is on the line. Do you?
I would be shocked if he's fired after next year.
Then,
I would be
then
shocked.
You can't keep saying that he's under significant
but
pressure.
But I will not be surprised if this thing starts to unravel and it doesn't turn to Isaiah's point. They don't fix the run game. And this reset, all of a sudden, this team is still emotionally captured in
and if that happens, the next offseason, I will be right there with you saying Pete's under a lot of pressure. But he's not right now.
That's, to me, your coach.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you for clearing all
Mike,
of that up.
He's your coach.
I'm under.
Bro,
I understand.
Your headsets flew off your head like D. Gordon
well,
yesterday's batting helmet.
This is. How about what D. Gordon did last night? It's too bad we didn't get a chance to yeah. see it. Guy, streaker runs out on the field, slides into second base, declares himself safe, and D. Gordon looks at the bench and does the headphone sign as if you better take a look at that on replay. D. Gordon is awesome.
Oh, I wish we'd seen it. Dave Sims was not there for that streaker. He had no time for that.
We will not be showing you that.
Clown.
Titus, extremely confused. Extremely confused at what was going on.
Instead, we got like a way too close-up shot of Christian Vasquez. Like, I don't need to be that close to Christian Vasquez. Show me the streaker.
What is going on, Dad? And this started the litany of questions. And I'll look at Titus, and he gets so mad if I don't answer it completely. And I'll leave a little, meat on the bone and not answer it fully. And I can tell he's enraged. What is going on right now? What is happening? Son, they're not going to show the streaker. Why not? Because they don't want to promote that. Well, what do you mean a streaker? What does he do?
God.
Oh, gosh. Was it just
show
barrel?
Him the video of Matt Chatham in the Super Bowl drilling that dude. That's Perfect. The best streaker of all time. Hey, speaking of streakers and hecklers and all that, I told you about my heckling experience with Luis Valbuena the other day.
Yeah.
It turns out, and I hadn't heard this audio and just until today, but when the Mariners were in Tampa, there was a heckler, or at least a vocal fan, who had some words for Mike Zunino. Have you heard? This is not made up. We did not make this up.
Not a bit.
This is not a bit. I promise you. I know we've done that before.
Like this is not a bit this or is, not a bit?
This is not a bit.
Okay.
This is a guy at the field in Tropicana Field.
One of the five people that were there.
That's why it's so easy to hear. I'm talking to Mike Zunino.
4-8 leadoff base hit here in the sixth.
Nice at bat right there. Gamble fouled away some pitch.
Isn't that amazing?
What?
Yes.
4-8 leadoff base hit here in the sixth.
Hey, Mike. Boy Howdy says hi.
What'd he do in the at bat?
Who was
Did
that?
Did just the
Howdy?
Mere mention of Boy Howdy cause him to get a hit?
Who
yeah.
was that?
Well, later on in the game, he had a home run.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. He's just reminded of you.
So yeah, it's all Mike Zunino, a loser. It's a home run.
Hey, Mike. Boy Howdy says hi.
Who was that?
No one even
no
really
idea
knows who,
Mike's... who that was. I didn't pay anybody. The one person I knew who used to live in Tampa
know.
Doesn't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who this was. Who was it that lives or went to Tampa, Florida that knows our show well enough and knows that I worked with Mike Zunino and fixed him that would go to Tampa Bay, get front row tickets to a game, and yell that?
Might have been Scott Servais. Might have been Scott Servais. He's well aware of what you've done. He's a big Howdy fan, as you know. They've got that dugout mic'd up now, Howdy. That may have just been Servais yelling out, Howdy says hi.
You know what? I'm going to check in with you. I won't talk to Pat Listash in Tacoma or anything like that. I'll just check in with you. You let me know how Zunino's going and when we might be able to activate him, okay?
206-421-3776. Let's grab Corey, who's in Houston. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You're in Houston.
Hey,
do you know the Astros rants guy?
No.
Oh, you got to find this guy. I want everyone. I wish
I've heard him.
He's the best.
Yeah,
he is the best.
I listen to your guys' show pretty regularly on podcasts.
Thank you.
Why are you doing this?
What is the whole point, man? What?
I'm not sure if I could get my voice to crack like that. Maybe.
What you got this morning, buddy?
Yeah, I wanted to call just a little bit to answer that previous caller, and it seems like this comes up a lot when a team finds success like the Mariners have of the questioning of the fandom, and I get that. I get that there's certainly gradations of how diehard or a strong fan you are, but I think that attitude of where were you when. You have to have a little bit of reality just to know that attendance is going to correlate, with winning. That's just sports. And if you want 45,000 there, they're not all going to be knowing what our Pythagorean wind calculation is going to be or knowing the middle name of every guy on the 25-man roster. So yeah. It's if you want 45K and you want to pack it like we did, in 2001, I guarantee you're going to need some of those,
new to the party,
for lack of a better word, Johnny come lately fans.
That's right.
We'd rather have that.
Yes.
And it's far and few between for places like, Nebraska football or something where you got no alternative, where they sell out just, rain, snow, shine, whatever. So
strong
I
call.
Think we need to just
very
accept
strong.
That
yeah.
and get 45K Seattle fans.
Appreciate we'll give it. You Colleen's number in Kennewick. You can chat with her.
You guys can chat offline, try to work this out together. Yeah. Text messages coming in, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Zanino hit a home run in that same at-bat.
Sure did.
Says one texter.
So here it goes. Mike Zanino, a loser, hits a home run.
Another texter here says, to be fair, boy, Howdy's actually a pretty common name in Tampa.
Is
so it might not have been talking about you, Howdy. You don't know that. There's
all
a lot
the grandparents,
of,
about their grandkids.
It's a lot of boy Howdy's in Tampa, St. Pete.
Howdy, can you whisper to Zanino? You don't need to fix him. You need to whisper to him, though, man. He has just played discipline, bro.
But they're winning games.
That doesn't
he's
mean
he's contributing to them winning games.
Howdy, he could still be hitting better.
Can you just whisper to him, please?
He's had some rough ABs.
Look at the way
recently.
He has managed his pitching staff.
It's been great.
No one even really knows who Mike Zanino is. Let's be honest.
Had some rough ABs.
Just whisper to him, bro.
All right. 206-421-3776. You want to grab one more?
Sneak one more.
All right. You want one on Red Sox fans, hockey,
you name
or
it.
Diehard Mariners fans? You want Rich, Matt, or Max?
Sure. Max.
Max. Go ahead, Max. Brock chose you.
What's up, Max?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
So my issue, again, also is kind of with Colleen from Kennewick, and that I've been in a loveless marriage with the Mariners for the last 17 years. I mean, to this day, Niehaus's voice brings a tear to my eye because that's how diehard of a fan I've been. 17 years of nothing. Now, the last couple of years you've seen some movement, but right now it's that excitement coming back.
Doesn't it feel good? But Max, can't you just welcome them in? We're such a divisive country, Ryan. Can't you just welcome in the Johnny come latelys? Isn't it all right?
Absolutely you welcome them back.
All good. Okay.
You welcome anybody and everybody that wants
you.
To be back and wants to be a fan, new fans, old fans, whatever.
All good. All
welcome
right. We're
back.
On the same page.
That
all
excitement
right.
in 1995 in Seattle was insane.
1995.
Like, what happened that? Was there a baseball team here that year? I've never heard about it.
Insane.
What went on there? Was there anything with that team?
Kyle is insane on this clock. Let's go. That's enough.
I'm happy to do so. John Morosi is going to be in studio with us coming up in 20 minutes for a good hour of baseball talk starting at 9 o'clock. That'll be a great conclusion to our week. Right after the news coming up next, Felix Hernandez pretty darn good, and is the U.S. Open too hard? That and more coming up. Brock and Salk.
When is it going to stop, guys? When is it going to stop? It's getting really annoying.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, time for the news. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. Brock and I are goofy today, man.
As I said, man, we should really do that little sneak.
No, we really shouldn't.
We really should.
Best thing about our friendship is a soundproof room around us. Nobody can hear anything we say, and that's probably for the best. John Morosi is going to be in, talk baseball with us in studio the entire 9 o'clock hour. Is he still outside on the phone, Kyle?
He's now in the backup studio on the phone.
Jeez. Is he just going through his list of calls? He's got to call every GM and every agent and every scout.
You can be like Shefty on the air with us with the phone right in front of
dual
him.
Dual phones?
If he does, then we treat him like that guy did in D.C., no doubt. I got some good text, too. Hold on.
That was Rappaport, by the way, not Shefty.
Doesn't matter. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Oh, Max, you've been a Mariners fan for 17 years and you hate bandwagon fans. So let me guess, you joined after 1995.
Ooh.
Doesn't that make you a bandwagon fan?
Oh, shoot.
That's a good argument, though, about how those years are the ones that catch, that grab people.
Or yeah, how about right. If you weren't alive when the franchise was first started, technically you're a bandwagon fan at any point, right? So it doesn't matter. Just hop aboard.
There you go. Text message. I listened to the podcast. I just heard Mike yesterday say he wanted to be Mr. Unlimited Sidekick. I think that would make you the Capacity Kid.
Oh, I like it.
The Capacity Kid. I've got.
Can you say it, Mr. Capacity? How do you say that?
Capacity Kid.
Capacity
Kid. What is in the news? Save us.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Seattle Mariners pitcher Felix Hernandez allowed 2 runs over 7 innings versus the Red Sox.
Yeah, his fastball was alive. That thing had sink to it, that had depth to it. That's a new word that I've heard an awful lot in baseball, and the Skip loves to talk about it. That thing just had depth, and he was getting swings and misses on that, and not just the off-speed stuff. 8 strikeouts, a season high, 7 innings. I'll be honest, I'd have pulled him. I did not want to see him pitch for a 4th time to the league's best hitter, Mookie Betts, but he got the double play ball he needed. That was a real positive.
Yeah, bad news, he wasn't good enough. Got to win that game. No, I'm just kidding. Good news. Good for Felix. I want to know what it is that gives him an extra 5 miles an hour on the fastball. I understand adrenaline's going to account for some of that, but 5 miles an hour? Whatever it is, I hope they can bottle it, save it, and use it some more, because I like Felix sitting at 91, not sitting at 86.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Mariners added to their bullpen by calling up Rob Whalen and Nick Rumbelow.
Yeah, the Whalen thing is probably no news. I think Rumbelow, however, is good news. And I know this is sort of minor good news, and it's not going to be a familiar name to people, but when he was traded for this offseason, they believed he would be a part of their major league bullpen to start the year. Got hurt in spring training. He's a little guy who throws pretty hard, can sit around 93, can hit 95. If you saw Jason Churchill last night tweeting about it, he's got a really good changeup, a decent curveball as well. And I thought he looked pretty darn good in his Mariners debut last night. So yeah. that is another guy who's not going to be your 8th inning reliever, but someone who hopefully you can start to work into some decent leverage spots. And the more depth you have in that bullpen, the better you are. So good news.
You know, nearly full phone lines. We'll get to some of those calls with John Morosi in the 9 a.m. hour as well. And it was Chris from Woodinville who brought up, I thought, a pretty good point. And he talked about the 40-man roster, the fluidity of it with a Jerry DePoto, that it's not about blue chippers, but it's about those 40 guys, and they better all be accessible. And I'll spin this in another positive way. If you're doing good things, you're rewarded. Mm. All right, Whalen, you've had a tremendous month and a half. You're going to get the opportunity, man. And I think when you incentivize in that way, or you reward some level of accomplishment with a bunch of 4A guys, I think that makes them hungry, too. And they get their shot, man, to pay it off. I think that's nothing but good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Dustin Johnson, DJ, leads the U.S. Open at 3-under.
Oh, he made it to 3-under. That's the lowest I think anybody's been yet. It was 2-under until a few minutes ago. Good for him.
Dude's just different. Andy North this morning, early on Mike and Mike driving in, Wingo and Golic driving in, saying that his top game, his A game, is better than anybody else's.
In the game today?
In the game today.
True. That when it just takes it so long.
Yes, that when he plays his... When he plays to his capabilities,
he always has a wedge in.
It's unbelievable.
No matter what no matter like what the hole, it's like a wedge in.
318 yards.
It's insane.
Three wood. Yeah. 318. Lydia, you asked me yesterday, I think, is before they teed off or some way, who's going to win this thing or who do you like? You have to. And in a course like this, it gives him such inherent advantages. A 99-mile-an-hour fastball at any time as a starter. Shohei Ohtani, I can rear back and throw 100 on you in the 7th inning. He's unique.
But he's not that much fun to watch despite being as impressive as he is.
He's a bro.
Huh?
He's a bro.
He's not, though. He's so flat-pulsed. I don't know. I don't find him very entertaining to watch. I think
doesn't
the guy's...
He doesn't have a cluttered mind.
Huh?
He doesn't have a cluttered mind.
No, that is definitely true. Have you heard this? Have you heard this story about him?
Ignorance.
There's
is
a
bliss.
Rumor about him.
There's not just one. There's, there's which one?
The story about him, his brother caddies for him, right? His name is Austin, I think. And so the story is he's like looking at this putt forever, and they keep going back and forth, and they're looking at the yardage book, and he's going back, and then he just completely misses it, and it's not close. And he looks over his brother and goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, Austin, I had this thing upside down."
Wait, what?
He's looking at the yardage book upside down. He completely misread the putt because of it. I've heard that story. I can't tell you whether it's true, but Caddy told me that. And
I played
this
guy one time who wore a batting helmet, man. It's really weird.
Yeah, exactly. That is a great story. I used to play with somebody who wore a double helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky, that was me. All right. That's the news for today. Do you like the U.S. Open being this hard, by the way, or would you prefer it a little?
I do.
A little easier.
I like you like it like this. Squirm.
Well, plus because every day by Sunday, like no chumps in the U.S. Open. No chumps allowed.
But
by
I mean, Sunday, the best players look like chumps.
Fantastic. I don't want no scrubs.
But look at the leaderboard. There are a lot of guys you don't really know.
Sunday.
All right. You think it's all going to change?
Yes.
All right.
Well, not like change dramatically, but I think by Sunday it's going to be
don't
a lot
you
of
like
different.
Just ruffling the feathers of these country.
I do kind
of
like
too.
That.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
In the scrub at the U.S. Open. Baby.
I do enjoy that. John Morosi, not a scrub.
Nope.
National baseball writer, MLB. Yeah. Network, MLB.com. He's going to sit in with us for a full hour if we can tear him away from his phone, his lifeline over there. Should be a lot of fun. See if we can grab some more calls along the way. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.